We are here today. We want to talk a bit about crafting narratives that resonate with customers and employees. At least by the time I'm done, I want for us to have covered three things, and those are going to be our key takeaways. We want to learn a bit about why storytelling matters in the world of employees and customers. We'll also learn a bit about how to craft compelling stories, and then we'll also learn a bit about how to weave stories into our customer experiences. All right, so we're good to go? Sawa sawa. So why storytelling matters? I'll share a personal story. So this was about a year ago when I had started becoming a little bit famous, and I was invited to my first public speaking session. So this is now outside of employment. Yeah, it was supposed to be a mind meld session on how to build and manage superstar teams. So, you know, I saw that this was going to be a conversation, so I didn't really need to prepare. Probably in the audience, there were going to be people who have had a chance at management, and it's going to be something that is a bit relatable. So I get there, I'm very early, I have a room of about 35 people, and I ask people, so raise your hand if you've ever been in management, and nobody raised their hand. Then I was like, wow, yeah, this is going to be a challenging session. So imagine explaining management to somebody who's never been in management. Then when I started the session, I was like, okay, you know, a business has different stages. So there's the startup stage where you come up with the idea, you take it into the market, you start experimenting. And then now when your product is successful, you enter the growth stage. In the growth stage is where now you start growing, start attracting a larger customer base, and then you get to maturity. So at maturity now you're maintaining your market share, and then towards the end, sometimes you get to a place where the business is closing down because the sales have started declining and more competitors have entered. Now, in these stages, there are different leaders that are called to come up. So as a leader, you know, you need to start by leading yourself and then leading others. And as I was looking at the crowd, like I was just seeing how I was losing the crowd. You know, we are just done with the Q1, and probably all of us have gone through our goal setting exercises. You've come up with your goal sheets, and now you're working towards that. And usually as leaders, when you've come up with the your business strategy, let's say your growth plan for the next 3 years or so, and you've broken that down into an annual plan, you know, those directions, and now you want to share the goals with the rest of the company, and you can see how you're losing them, yeah? You share the numbers, nobody really takes, people don't get to understand why you have come up with the numbers you've come up with. So at the end of that session, this was the audience, and this was me. And I remember I walked out of that session feeling very defeated, and I vowed to never repeat this again. I wanted to be able to tell better stories for myself. So I have a short video for you that will also... Oh, okay. So as a leader, as you're sharing, as you're talking to your employees, you want to inspire them. You want them to take action, you want them to perform, yeah? But usually, leaders, we forget and we become the role, because the role depicts like what are the objectives that are needed, what we need to hit. So you find that by the time you have gone to talk to your employees, it's a very boring conversation, because remember the graph where we've seen that Gen Zs, they feel very disconnected to the companies. And then the guys who are older, they are the ones who feel very connected to the company, yeah? So how do we bring, that means whoever is having these conversations with the team member, they are not really connecting. So who can guess what are some of the consequences of being a boring leader? If you're unable to tell stories, you end up in a situation where there's low engagement and motivation, there's a lack of connectedness to the organizational goals, there's low job satisfaction and retention, and then you end up wasting time and resources, because you've spent time, you've trained people, you've invested in them, you've come up with your growth plans, and you want for them to go and take action and achieve the targets that you've set. But in terms of like how you're communicating it, nobody's really taking the time to understand. So if you're boring, those are the issues you might encounter. The customer side, you can find yourself in a situation where you're missing growth opportunities, low loyalty, because no customer wants to be seen to be engaging with a boring brand, and then there's a negative brand perception. While we're still on the topic of employee storytelling for employees, every night before, as you're going to sleep, your brain goes through the activities of the day. Yeah? So it will replay everything that you've gone through, and it will choose what to remember and what to discard. Yeah? As the brain is choosing what to remember, there are some factors that play a huge part in what the brain will remember. So one thing will be, if you've seen something that has been repeated over and over again, you're probably going to remember it. If it is something that was important to you, you're going to remember it. And if it is something that you are paying attention to, you're also going to remember it. On the other end, if it is also something that you're interested in, you're going to remember. If it has some relevance, you're going to remember it. And if you can associate it with something that has happened in your life before, you're also going to remember it. But out of all these things that make it important for people to remember and for the brain to actually keep a record of the things that are important to you, emotion is the most important. We've just seen the results of the survey that was shared, and you can see out of the questions that were being asked, people are talking about feeling, yeah? So do I feel like I count in the organization? Do I feel like my opinions are heard, and so on and so forth? So emotion, very important when you are storytelling. So as we continue, I want us to take into account that as employees, people don't really care about facts. They don't really care about the numbers, but these things can matter to them when they are connected to an emotional component of some time. So as a leader, instead of just sharing numbers, instead of just sharing facts around why you want to hit certain targets, please try to ensure that you work stories into the goal setting exercises and any other situation where you need people to take action. Yeah, emotion, very important. All right, so pay attention, because I'm laying out the framework in which we can tell better stories, all right? Sawasawa. Cool. So when you're setting up a story, the first thing you need to do is to set the scene, yeah? Here you can talk about the time, the place, and the situation. Setting a scene is very important because it opens up your audience's mind, and you transport them to that actual location where you can grab their attention and they can get a sense of what was happening at the time. So in the early 80s and 90s in Kenya, there was a mysterious disease that had just hit the country. People were dying, young, old, relatives and the like, and people didn't really know what was happening, yeah? Essentially, this disease came to be known as HIV and AIDS, and it became such a huge problem that the government labeled it an epidemic. So have we set the scene? All right, cool. So the next step is you need to introduce the main characters, yeah? So who are the protagonists in your narrative? What are their motivations and their aspirations? So in Kenya, we had the Ministry of Health, who were facing a huge challenge, because if you're losing young people, it means you don't have people to actually come and work on the economy once they enter age. If you're losing people who are already working, then that means that if this problem is not tackled, then the country might find itself in a very, in a difficult situation, yeah? On the other end, we also had, quote unquote, condoms, which were just coming into the industry. But we can see that back in the day, sex was not something that was openly discussed in society. And then also, there was a difficulty in adoption, you know, as a preventative measure. I remember I was a kid back then, and I used to hear some grown-ups saying things like, "Awezi kula peremende na karatasi." Yeah? There were things like that going around. So that those was the challenges, yeah? So after you've introduced your characters, the next thing you do is you introduce the conflict and the problem. So here we have a situation where there are some preventative measures, which is the use of condoms to help prevent the infection rate that people have, and we need to get people to start using it. But there's taboo where there's a lot of misconceptions around the use of the same. And then also you find that traditional methods of family planning were being used. So here you have, achani cheze chini kidogo. Yeah, so people are using like traditional methods. So that is the conflict. So a conflict is very important because it is the springboard to a story that has value and is compelling. We all have different challenges that we faced, and when you overcome that challenge, you suddenly have a story to tell. So here we have a situation where now we want to conclude, yeah, how the story was resolved. So here you get to the resolution. So what happened? The ministry, one of the first things they needed to do was to make condoms accessible everywhere and affordable. The next thing they needed to do was they needed to tackle the taboo around the discussion of intimacy, because we can see that young people are dying, we can see that old people are dying. So how do we make this conversation one worth having? So they are now, through some clever marketing campaigns, Trust Condom came up with some pretty amazing campaigns. So in one campaign, you see somebody has invited the lady friend, and just about when they're about to get intimate, the lady friend says, "Do you have them?" Then the guy says, "I don't have them." So this guy takes a bike, yeah? And he rides the bike, I think, for almost 30 minutes because he doesn't want to buy the things close to where he lives because people will know what he's doing, yeah? So he's going to a very far off location so that he can have that safety. But when he gets to the shop, he's about to order the things, but then an old mzee walks in. So the guy says, "Give me one packet of biscuits." And then he orders the biscuits, he puts in the pocket. And then he waits for this guy to go again. And then he says, "Give me another packet of biscuits." And then he takes the biscuits. As he's still ordering the biscuits, 4 biscuits later, some guy just walks in and says, "Hi, give me 3 packets of condoms." And then this guy is like, "Yeah, what am I doing? Also give me 3 packets of condoms." So he gets in his bikes, he goes back home, but by the time he's there, ile moto alikuwa amewasha ilikuwa ishashuka. But as a result, you see that in telling these stories in a more fun and engaging way, it made things easy for conversations around intimacy and protection. I remember they also used to use other artists like Nameless, and there was a tagline, "Maisha iko sawa na trust." I think we remember that. And that was just one campaign that they did. They did a number of very many campaigns. In some place where you see there's an old couple, mzee, who are in a car, and then there's a lady who's walking in the streets, it's been raining, and then as the rain stops, she pulls the umbrella out and she wants to, I don't know what it's called, that kind of thing that you, there's the umbrella sweater, if you can call it like that. But yes, but now the wind blows the cover up away. And then some guy just walks in, pulls out a condom and puts it on the umbrella. Yeah. So that is the framework that we can use to tell stories, where towards the end you have to resolve how the story, how did the story end, because you've introduced the conflict. And then you also have to summarize them into lessons. What can people take away? So if you hear Maisha Iko Sawa na Trust, you know what you need to do. And then the call to action. Yeah? Protect yourself, protect your loved ones. Yeah? All right. So how can we weave stories into customer experience? Research has shown that 95% of purchase decisions are driven by emotion. But while emotion opens us up to the first consideration, we usually go through a logical phase where we want to understand, is this really going to be a good purchase, or do I actually need to spend some bit of time and reconsider? So on the emotional side, the things that drive purchase decisions are usually driven by people's motivations and aspirations. So what are their hopes? What are their dreams? What are their fears? Yeah. On the logical side, you find needs and pain points. So these are negative experiences with current solutions or service providers, and then also unmet needs. So if you're able to come in and fill in that gap, then you are able to make a sale because your offers are a bit more compelling. So for people who are driven by motivations and aspirations, they are driven by things like brand. So is it a brand that I'd like to be associated with? Availability. Sometimes, you remember during the COVID period where there was a sudden rush, people were buying bales and bales of tissue paper and Dettol. And even things like masks, yeah? We had masks going for upwards of 3,500 shillings. And right now we can buy a box of masks for about 100 shillings, yeah? So availability can also influence a person's decision to buy. And then choice. Some people, they want to have options. I want to have looked at three or four service providers before I make that purchase decision. On the other end, people who are driven by logic, they tend to look at their functionality. So how well does it meet the needs that I want? If it's in the service industry, how well was that service done to me? And then quality is more around, if it's a product, how well has it been made? If it is a service, based on that scale, like did I get the maximum utility I could from it? And then if we are all honest with ourselves, price is usually in the middle, because we are fluid. Price depends on the needs, my needs at that current time. So with that understanding, how can we work storytelling into our customer experiences? We need to go back into the customer journey and get a sense of what are the expectations of this customer within this specific period. So at awareness stage, somebody probably doesn't know about you, they're just hearing about you from the first time, but probably they have a need and they're actively looking for solutions, yeah? So knowing that this person is looking for solutions, you can't just start saying, buy now, and the likes. You need to be able to help them make a better decision. So can you tell a story that helps them make better decisions? On the other end, at consideration, so probably they've already identified one or two service providers, and they are weighing the offers based on what do they value? Is it price? Is it choice? Is it availability? Is it brand? And then also the asking price. So they're also gauging the asking price versus how much they're willing to spend for certain solution. And the acquisition stage, so this is where now you've actually convinced them, they've bought the thing, yeah? So which touch points are they using? Is it somebody in customer service after they've made the sale? Is it an automated message and what's included there? And so on and so forth. So are you actually meeting this person based on the objective that they're trying? And then at the service, so now here is when, if it's a restaurant like this, I've paid, let's say like 40,000 and I'm here to experience. I am hoping that the waiters, the waitresses, the management, the security of the place, the food itself, I'm looking forward to have a good experience as well, yeah? So will that expectation be met? From the moment I walk in, like, did somebody smile with you? Did somebody help me to carry my bags? And so on. And then at the loyalty stage, you know that if you have a good experience, you're probably willing to tell other people about it. So as a business, as somebody who's working in customer experience, am I making it easier for people to share stories about the experience that they've gone through? So rating system, are you asking for reviews, and so on and so forth. So it's very important to meet your customer at the different points in the touch point, and then find ways to weave that storytelling based on what this person is trying to achieve. And then finally, what does not get measured is always lost. So as a business, you always need to ensure that you're keeping a track of what people are searching in relation to your product category and your business. You also need to look at the conversations. So are people talking about you? Are people talking about the problem space that you engage with? And then engagement. So if you put a post out, yeah, what kind of feedback are people, what kind of comments are coming in? Yeah, if they go through a negative experience, what kind of input are they sharing with the teams that are there? Yeah, and then very important, you need to look at sentiment analysis. Be able to measure, is this something that's negative? Is it something that's neutral? Or is it something that people are generally happy about? So very important to always ensure, whether you're using data or whether you're using tools like Excel, forms and the like, just ensure that you're capturing that information so that you can improve on it. And that is the end of my session.